Maybe you're looking to grow in Christ. Maybe you're looking to know if God does really exist. Well, you've come to the right place as we go to God's Word for answers for life. Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon is coming up next. Join us. Welcome to today's edition of Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon from United Reformed Church here in Linden. Each day we come to you with just a few minutes of time to spend in God's Word that we might grow in grace, that we might find ourselves encouraged in our walk with Christ. And for those who are seeking to know if God really does exist, well, the answers again are found right here in God's Word. Won't you join us for this edition of Abounding Grace? Here's Pastor Chris Gordon.
Well, thank you for tuning in today to Abounding Grace. If you were with us yesterday, you know that we started our study in 2 Peter chapter 3, looking at what the Apostle Peter is warning us against concerning what is going to happen, and also certain behaviors of people who do not anticipate the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ on the clouds of heaven. And so, in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3, he says, first of all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, where is this coming he promised? Ever since our fathers died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. He says, first of all, here is what you must know. And of course, knowledge directs living. Scoffers will come, who will blatantly attack the truths, the credibility, and the historicity of Christianity, and ultimately they will strike at our main hope, the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. They will attack the church's only hope as she trusts in the second coming. Remember, there's a grand promise made about the second coming, that in 1 Corinthians 15, we are going to receive as Christians newly resurrected bodies. The apostles expected this second coming in their day. And remember, even throughout the New Testament, you have this emphasis maintained that the coming would be imminent. And Peter said this in the first epistle, but the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. He says, I want to stir up your minds by way of reminder. How do you stir up the people of God? Well, it's with a reminder that at some point the heavens are going to break open and we are going to see, every eye will see, the Lord of glory coming as the judge of the living and of the dead. And Peter is concerned here about scoffers in the church who are acting as if this isn't going to happen. Now, I read this and I think to myself, how will this scoffing occur? He mentions that they will simply say he's not coming, but it's not ultimately the very first thing he says. The first thing he says is they will deny the second coming by walking according to their own lusts. You really get the idea here that the denial comes with a total disregard for morality and the law of God. What he is doing here is basically calling us to awake and see how things really are all around us. Look at our society. Look at the escalation of evil. Look at what is happening. Look at what's being accepted. Look at how tolerant we are of certain behaviors. Let me give you an example. The other day, my brother-in-law and I were talking about an old TV show, and the Leave It to Beaver show came up. And the model parents, of course, were June and Ward Cleaver, and everyone sort of mocks them today in the old black and white picture, right? I said, yeah, isn't it something that, you know, a few years ago, the number one program on ABC was Desperate Housewives? He said, whoa, you put it like that? I didn't even think about how bad things have gotten. We've gone from the Nelsons to, at least what I remember a few years ago, the Osbournes. And ever worse, I was just reading, of course, about all these new popular sitcoms. And who can forget that one, Rules of Engagement, played by David Spade, where one of the punchlines is, I do what I want, I date who I want, and I sleep with whomever will let me. Is that what is put now on public TV? You know, certain programs, I was reading the other day about one particular program about a man whose life revolves around excessive drinking, irresponsible gambling, mother-hating, and frivolous having sex with numerous women without any thought of their feelings or consequences. And it's a comedy. Now, doesn't this just describe what it means to walk according to one's own lusts? Peter is saying, Christians, wake up. See what's happening all around you. The line of morality is ever being pushed farther back. What is acceptable today was not yesterday. There's a progression. There's an escalation. And we can be ever asleep to it, even tolerant of these things without seeing what is right in front of our face. The pushing of agendas to get us to accept and be tolerant of behavior, morality that is directly contrary to everything the Bible exposes. Why is this so important? Because Jesus said, and this is what really blows my mind in light of considering the depths and the warning of this. Jesus said that because of the increase of lawlessness, the love of many will grow cold. So, because you just start seeing more and more lawlessness and more and more lawlessness, and because you just start seeing the progression of it more and more, and hear all of the agendas and all the programs that just push the line back farther and farther, you totally become desensitized to it. So the conscience then becomes seared as with a hot iron. That means that when this sort of progression in men walking according to their own lusts happens, the danger is that we become careless and cold to the Lord. Our convictions, our discernment is literally seared. Even the kind of biblical convictions that just a generation ago had and are gone completely today. Years ago, there was the conviction about the Lord's Day. They called it the Sabbath, that this was not just one of the Old Testament laws with regard to Moses, but this was something that God gave at creation. So it wasn't even something that belonged particularly to Israel. This was something that God rooted in man at creation, that he was to follow a work-rest pattern. And it was put right in the whole moral law, along with murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal. Along with it was honoring the Lord's Day. A generation ago, across denominational lines, years ago, people knew and had the conviction that they needed to honor the fourth commandment. Well, today in our great achievements in the church and all the wise new generation that has come up, we have become so much more wise that now, guess what? We can abandon that commandment. Wake up and see the kind of scoffing that is going on even in the life of the church. This sort of disregard for God's law is what facilitates coldness. That's why what Jesus was saying to people when he said, remember in Luke 12, then also he said also to the multitudes, whenever you see a cloud rising out of the west, immediately you say a shower is coming, and so it is. And when you see the south wind blow, you say there will be hot weather, and there it is. Hypocrites. You can discern the face of the sky and of the earth, but how is it that you do not discern this time? Boy, how many conversations do you have with the average person about the weather? Boy, it's sunny today. What a beautiful weather we're having. And this is just common conversation. Jesus says, you hypocrites. You can tell me what tomorrow is going to be, whether sunny or rainy, and you can't discern the sign of the times. You can't discern what's happened. You can't discern the escalation of wickedness. Can't you see that the end of all things is at hand? Can't you see what's going on all around you? Can you really be numb to that and yet know the weather? You see? Now, I ask the question in light of 2 Peter chapter 3, why do they mock God? Well, in verse 4, they say, ever since our fathers died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. And the thinking really does follow these lines. Nothing has changed. Generation after generation goes by. The world is still thriving and going on. Business is strong. People are making lots of money. The world is developing and becoming more innovative every day. Look at the progression we've made in 2,000 years. It can only get better, they say. And Peter says, well, people are forgetting something very important. It's a willful ignorance, isn't it? Listen to verse 5 of 2 Peter 3. But they deliberately forget. That's ignorance, isn't it? That long ago, by God's word, the heavens existed and the earth was formed out of water and by water. By these waters also the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. What point is Peter trying to make with this example? He's pointing us back to the days of Noah and the flood that destroyed the entire world. And this isn't the only place in the New Testament that this event is referred to. Christ said, as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Remember the flood? Remember the flood? People just like us who existed, and all of a sudden it came and swept them away when they least expected it. Jesus says it's going to happen just like that. Well, if you know that, can we discern the sign of the times? The sign then must be that we have to come and believe in the Lord Jesus to be saved. He's given us the sign of the resurrection. He's raised, he's seated, and he's going to come again to judge the living and the dead. And so, dear friend, have you believed in Jesus? It's a matter of life and death. Come to Jesus that you may have life, so that you may know without any measure of doubt that when he comes, he will not come as your enemy, but as your friend, and receive you into glory.
We will glorify the King of Kings. We will glorify the Lamb. We will glorify the Lord of Lords, who is the great I Am. Lord Jehovah reigns in majesty. We will bow before his throne. We will worship him.
After Jesus had delivered his Sermon on the Mount, people were so astonished at his teachings. You know what the reason was for the astonishment? It reads that he spoke, what they understood was that Jesus spoke to them with authority and not as the scribes and the Pharisees. The preaching of the gospel comes in authority, commanding our lives. It's not moralistic pep talks. And as that authoritative word is proclaimed, we are transformed by the renewing of our minds as we put our hope in him. He is preached every Sunday at the Linden United Reformed Church, a place where the Bible sincerely believed and faithfully taught. 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. are the worship times. 360-318-0429 is the phone number, and lindenurc.com is the website. Thanks for tuning in. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you.